You are listening to The After Chat with me, Pollyanna. 18 and older, please proceed and enjoy. Under 18, listen no further. Welcome, loves, to episode 14 of our favorite show, the show all about you, The After Chat. The show after the show, where we share your amazing stories, incredible insights, and thought-provoking questions. Today, we are going to discuss my recently announced collaboration with SDC. Woohoo! An incredible letter from yet another listener. So good, we are going to take it further into a full blog piece. And we will finish up with a follow-up on something I brought up on Tuesday's episode, sexual hazing and stigmas in general that sex minority groups have to contend with. It never ceases to amaze me. There are so many talented storytellers in this listenership. I'm always so impressed, moved, inspired. So I got one recently, and we're going to read just a portion of it today and answer some of the questions in it. The whole letter is so amazing in its entirety, but it is too long for a show. So what it inspired me to do, and what I'm going to do, is turn it into a blog piece and have a fuller response so you get to hear this listener's whole story. And that's going to be posted on my website soon. But I thought part of it would be good to share on the show today. So we're going to kind of fast forward to like halfway through the letter and read through to the end. Kind of just to give you a little bit of what's in the beginning. He talks about how he and his wife first considered getting into the lifestyle and experiencing plural play. And their first experience was with a man. They met him for drinks and kind of got comfortable with him, really were very, very thoughtful about taking time, checking in with each other. Just a lot of really great example that they set in his letter of how to approach it, that there's no rush, that you have to make sure that you're doing it just like in polyamory. The lifestyle and plural play, couple or as a single, you should always approach it with emotional responsibility. And he does such a great job telling you his story while illustrating that and setting such a good example. But that's all the first part of the letter. You'll read that in the blog. So let's jump into where they actually get to have their experience in plural play with a single male partner. So he says, we decided after another several weeks to get a hotel room at a brewery out of town and meet him. Man, I thought the meeting him brought feelings that I had never felt. This drive was multiplied by 100. We checked in, got to our room, and my wife changed into a sexy short blue dress. Wow, she was into this and was looking so good. We found a spot outside that was private while we drank and waited for him to arrive. Surprise, our slow to play continued. She was sitting on the bed looking incredible, while I sat in a chair and he stood while we talked some more. The night was growing long and I felt like it was either going to happen or not. I said it. Are you guys going to get started or what? Before I knew it, they began kissing. I felt a wave of feelings like no other. He pulled her dress up and over her head to expose her naked body. Holy shit, is this happening? He pushed her onto the bed and began to place his head. You know, and you can guess where he might have placed his head. I don't want to get too graphic for y'all. Holy shit, this is happening. He was very gifted in the way that I wasn't, and I was in complete fucking awe as he made her very satisfied, like I'd never seen. My stomach turned as I watched in total amazement to what I had originally brought into her. Holy crap, did I make a mistake? He and she spent a good time together. The feeling I felt, I still can't explain. My wife looked at me and mouthed, are you okay? And I shook my head, yes. At times she tried to include me and I was totally unable to get into the moment. I was so caught up in my head. The thoughts overwhelmed me. They went for it for a couple of hours and it was unbelievable. At one point I had to excuse myself to use the restroom and left them together alone. While I was returning, I turned to the corner of the hallway and could hear her being very happy with the experience. I came into the room and I'm not sure I was even noticed. They continued until he was complete. Sorry, I'm leaving out some here because I'm going to leave it in the blog. I just, you know, some of it's better in writing than to hear me say it. You know what I mean? You'll know what I mean when you read the blog. So they continued and they said their goodbyes to him. I was overwhelmed. My wife and I went for a late night walk and found a private area to talk. She was concerned about me. Are you okay? I didn't want her to feel bad or negative about anything. I felt bad that I couldn't join into the moment with her. It was super hot and I was and it was weird to see her pleasured in ways that I was never able to. My feelings were everywhere. We talked through it. My wife made me feel okay with my, you know, my difference in performance, and we talked for an hour more. We returned to the room and then enjoyed each other. And yes, we felt it felt very kinky. My mind thinking of another man was just with her really turned me on. We ended up meeting with him two more times after that, and each time I felt more and more comfortable and was more and more of an included part every time. It was beginning to be more fun for me. My favorite was my wife. Well, we're going to leave that for the blog. I try not to get too graphic in the podcast because it's just not my spoken style. Writing style, I'm okay with that, but that's why I'm editing as I go for you guys. Hope that's okay. But it's a hot letter, so you'll enjoy the blog. So it was so hot. He had increasingly become more flaky though, late, and it didn't shake my hand at the last time we met, and it just kind of bothered me. So my wife and I decided we wouldn't see him again, and we were in agreement on that. So here is why I'm reaching out to you, Anna. This was over 2 years ago. We continue conversations. We opened up to go to some local lifestyle clubs, but haven't dipped our toes in some of the websites. You described poly and how it works for you seems more closely to align with what I think we are seeking. And again, we both have only been with a few people over our lives and don't want to have encounters with a multitude of people. My wife and myself don't want a relationship that is like what we have together. We are complete with each other. Time is precious with how our lives intersect. The search seems to be so hard, sometimes impossible. And in my mind, I think, what a perfect situation. A couple that's willing to let a man spend some time wooing my wife and sharing pleasure with her and me, but no deep relationship. A guy that has his shit together, but doesn't have time for a girlfriend sort of thing. So that's kind of what they're saying might be a good match for them. We seem to be on the other side of what you seek and enjoy. We are a couple and we seek a guy that's not a creep. Isn't that the goal for all of us into guys? Don't be a creep. Don't be an asshole, right? So you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I definitely know what you're saying. Are we a poly couple? Would seeking a couple be easier route for us? Maybe more safe? Of course, there would have to be an understanding of boundaries between all. I believe we just want a guy friend with benefits sort of thing, and it seems so difficult. Please give us some tips if you have them to find him again. Sincerely. So good to hear from you. Sorry that I've left out so much of your letter on the spoken word, but I want to save the juiciest bits for the blog. And I don't know, maybe it's just me being a shy girl with with graphic details on my podcast. It's just not my style. But I totally love what you wrote, and I know other people will when they read the whole thing, and I'll give my whole response in, as I said before, the blog. So I know what you mean. You know, what you're describing could be like an evolution into poly for sure. There's a lot of poly people that have, and this is completely valid, they have their primary relationship, and then they have just secondary or tertiary, like casual connections, or maybe they just have those tertiary casual connections and it's not necessarily something that's emotionally deep. But you also, it sounds like you want an ongoing connection with somebody that you respect, somebody that you have a rapport with, that you have a good, I'm assuming here, but good like friendship connection with, something a little bit more familiar. And for a lot of people who are swingers and in the lifestyle, as you probably well know, since you've already started socializing with these groups, are friends first swingers. Some people even say that most swingers are friends first swingers. I mean, my experience, I wouldn't say most, actually. I would kind of say from my, you know, few years that I've been in it, you know, not a decade, of course, but it seems to me like I feel like I've met kind of more half and half. So half people kind of strike me as being inclined to, at least some of the time, if not most, being like moving a little faster, just keeping a little surface and just kind of getting those itches scratched. Nothing wrong with that. I'm friends with people like that. I adore them and our friendships. I've even had some experiences like that, but it's just not usually my style. So I'm kind of more of a friends first swinger. It's the sapiosexual in me. And at times I kind of play around with, am I a demisexual? But I'm not really a demisexual. I tend to compartmentalize relationships really easily and prefer that. So it's not really an emotional thing for me as much as it is an intellectual and sort of friendships and connections, having some depth there. So if that's kind of what you're looking for, that can still be in the realm of swingers and having these friendships where play also happens. And I treasure that and I need that. That's why I definitely identify as a lifestyle person, as a swinger, within the poly swing little label that I like to throw around. But I'm also polyamorous in that And some people choose to be polyamorous because it's more a convenient thing. It's preference. And there's nothing wrong with that. Totally valid. We all get to choose what our preferences are, what our labels are, what our identifiers are. The only one that's a valid determiner of that is you, the individual. But for me, polyamory is a lot more than that. It's at the core of who I am. That doesn't make me more valid or anything. That's just me explaining to you my perspective, right? So this is the core of who I am. I could never be monogamous. Like, I just couldn't. I crave the plural dynamic experience of romance with more than one person. It's always got to be in my life. And I'm pretty open to how that format presents. Some people are more specialized. And it sounds like you guys, if you were to explore polyamory, which it could be a phase, it could be experiment in your relationship, you guys definitely sound like you have great communication, excellent communication, which is key, essential, that you're very empathetic toward each other and other people. You check in with each other. You do all the right things. You have all the components of what even just exploring polyamory would require. And then you take the time before you just act and move. I mean, impulsivity can be exciting. Some people they almost have like fetishes that are based on impulsivity. And I am not that way at all. It's fine. And there's no judgment of being impulsive on my part, except that it tends to put you at risk of being emotionally irresponsible. Now, that's not you guys, for sure. But what I'm saying is, because you guys are so emotionally responsible, I feel like you could do well with a phase of exploring polyamory. I think looking into it and asking questions like you're asking is a good choice, for sure. I would definitely, if I were you, to look into diving deeper into, okay, what does hierarchy look like? What kind of hierarchy do we want? What boundaries? What are conversations of relationship hierarchy? I did videos on all of these things that you can watch on sdc.com. So if you want to go there, search me, and check out my 4 videos, kind of a lot of the getting started information that you would need really is there. And then dive deeper, look further, have these amazing conversations you guys are already in such good practice of doing. And then see where you go. Just make sure, if you are dating polyamorously, that you communicate very, very clearly from the start what your expectations and limitations are. Now, there's some people that have this, I fucking hate this term, unicorn hunting. Or what is the male version? I think it's wolf hunting. I can't remember. Werewolf hunting. I don't know. It was very unique to the poly community, where it's this very kind of anti-swinger mentality that some better sexual mentality polyamorists have, where, oh, if you're a couple and you're looking for a casual connection with a woman, you're just, you know, you're the scum of the earth. Fuck those people. Like, just, if you might come across them if you join any of these poly groups, or just if you start meeting more polyamorous people, just fucking ignore that shit. Those people are so out of touch, and they're so fucking judgmental. So that might come your way if you start exploring polyamory circles and groups. Just from me to you, like, just in your mind, just say fuck them. Just like, don't actually fuck them. Just like, ignore what they're saying, because they're wrong. They're being assholes. There's nothing wrong with being polyamorous and approaching it and saying, we only want casual connections. We want it to be something like a deep friendship or a girlfriend, but not at the same level. We're important. Statuses are important to us, you know, sort of thing. Maybe growing into a secondary connection, or only being open to secondary connections with a man, with a woman, whatever you guys grow to. Nothing wrong with that too. Just be honest about what your expectations and what your limitations are from the start with your partners. Because for polyamorous people, more often than not, they're looking for deep connections of romance. Like, I know I am. Maybe not everybody, not every time, not with every person that they meet, of course. Like, we're not a bunch of like like romance starved like attachment whores. No, I mean, but you just have to be, because it's a polyamorous, like, I had some friends in the past who it got brought up, hey, do you want to be our girlfriend? And I had to explain, well, to me, I know you guys and I treasure you, but to me, being a girlfriend is a lot more deep and meaningful. And no shade on you using that term, but I think it means something different to me than it does to you, right? So we had to have that conversation. So it's just really good to be honest about where you're coming from, so you don't lead anyone on, sort of thing. And you'll do well. And if that's the route you want to go do and try it. So it's really kind of up to you. I would just keep asking questions and learn more. It sounds to me like you could go either route. And in terms of, you know, not having time in your life, you know, we've all got lives and we have to keep them balanced. So keeping time, being cognizant of time, you could do that by exploring the lifestyle more, or exploring polyamory. A lot of polyamorous people will have time schedules. We'll see each other every 2 weeks, or, you know, whatever, what have you. So you can definitely take it in doses, and keeping your life balanced at all times is very important for that. But it sounds like you guys are being thoughtful about it, so you'll be fine. So tips on how to find him again. Well, I know we just talked about time being a sensitive thing for you, but you got to kind of put yourself out there, right? And that's really how you meet people. I would say if you're looking kind of to dive deeper into that within the polyamorous community, go to meetups. There's meetup.com is some local areas will have polyamorous groups. If you're in Arizona, I'm not sure, but there's an event I'm going to at the end of the month, which is a great way to meet polyamorous people locally. If you're here in Arizona, it's called Southwest Love Fest. And then there you'll learn out about more meetups and groups regionally. And then just every once in a while, just go and meet people that way, you know? Tinder is also, I guess, a good one. A lot of ethical non-monogamous people will be on Tinder and they'll be open about who they are. I know that I've heard, though, that if you don't selectively choose keywords, like if you flat out say, we're swingers, sometimes Tinder will delete your account because they're fucking purist assholes. So it's been an issue for sure. So maybe just say, hey, I have a wife. We're looking for open-minded friends, and just keeping it like that, and then seeing where the conversation goes. So those are kind of my tips on how you can find people. Some people have traditionally done, like, the old school way of doing it is Craigslist. And I've definitely, when I was dating someone, he used to go on Craigslist all the time. And we met some awesome people on Craigslist. So it's you know, possible for sure. But I think that they took down the personal ad section now. So now that's not possible there. I'm pretty sure those aren't there anymore. And obviously not on Backpage.com if that even still exists. But yeah, so I think just, you know, kind of the usual ways that you would meet people and put yourselves out there, whatever is still available. But I would keep my language vague. And I would always meet in public places. I would also recommend, and if you're not, you may already be using, but there's apps like Kik, K-I-K, and WhatsApp. I'm kind of like very into security and safety. So I would recommend maybe talking to people on those apps first and not necessarily giving somebody you're just meeting your number right away. Make sure that they're not crazy, sort of thing. They're not going to stalk you or scam you or something. So, because, you know, once you put yourself out there to the world, that's just what happens. Like, there's all types out there, right? And it's not like in like high amounts or numbers. It's usually worth it to put yourself out there far more than it is to avoid. But you're just safe and you're careful, you know what I mean? And make sure. So let me know what you think. And as far as, before I forget to mention, you asking, are we a poly couple? That is never a question that I can answer for you. I can tell you about polyamory. I can tell you why, like I did, I think you might do well in it. I can tell you why I think you're doing well in the lifestyle or what your possibilities are. But when it comes to who you are and how you are, the only people that can ever answer that are yourself. Could you be a poly couple? Absolutely. I would definitely encourage you, especially based on the good qualities your letter clearly expresses that you have as a couple and as people. I would definitely say that it's something you could do well at. But you don't know if that's right for you until you're there. You just don't know. Even for me, I had to date. That was a question mark in my brain. I had to date polyamorously and know how it felt to be in that moment, having good experiences, bad experiences, and then just being thoughtful about how I really felt about it itself, not necessarily like the breakup that just happened. Oh, well, you know, because I could have said, oh, well, we broke up. That means polyamory is not for me. Obviously, it's not necessarily going to be an answer because a relationship doesn't work out. Relationships just don't work out, whatever format. So but then again, it's just something that you don't know how you feel about it until you're there. And it gets to be, because it's such a diverse, there's such diversity in how you can be a swinger and how you can be polyamorous, how you can be just ethically non-monogamous in general. There's even relationship anarchy, which basically says, like, we are going to create our rules and our relationship from the ground up. Like we're building, we're inventing a wheel for the first time kind of thing. Like, we're not going to look at any of the other designs. We're just going to organically see how we're inspired from within. So that's definitely something that you guys could explore too. Look more into relationship anarchy. Whatever it is, and that's the beauty of it, it gets to be as you determine it.
And now we are going to take a quick break and then be right back with you for more of the After Chat.
So about a week ago, I announced my brand new video series as a collaborator for SDC.com. If you visit SDC.com and search Pollyanna, P-O-L-Y-A-N-N-A, you'll find me. I have 4 videos up already. So proud of them. Such an amazing group to work with. This has been in the works for a while. I've been dying to, to tell you guys all about it. And yeah, so super exciting. So I'll leave a link for that on my page there, my author page, and a code for you so that you can get a 20-day free trial on that. So that'll be in the show details. So SDC.com has been around for a really long time. They're doing such amazing things for sex minority groups. So I'm really, really proud to be working with them. And it's been such a joy and a pleasure. They're really great people. They help me grow and get better and have been just such a nurturing and rewarding experience. And I know it'll continue to be. So I'm recording more this week. I'll be recording more for SDC. So you'll see those videos coming up in a few weeks. And then I'll also have a YouTube video coming early next week. It was spring break last week. So I kind of took a little break from the videos, but I'm doing kind of a new thing actually for the one coming up this week. So keep an eye out that for YouTube. Usually it's the beginning of the week that I'll post those. I was feeling like Mondays is a good day, but I might switch that to Wednesdays. I don't know if anyone really is that on top of exactly what the schedule is, if anyone else out there is as type A as I am about that sort of stuff. Hey, it keeps me on track, and I don't know. I think it's kind of nice for you guys to know what to expect from me when. Maybe it doesn't matter that much, but anywho, so that's really exciting. SDC.com, be sure and check that out. A lot of the videos so far have just focused on polyamory, and that's probably what I'll focus on. There's so much to say there. So I'm really excited to write some more scripts and to film that this week. But check out what I have on there so far and let me know what you think. I brought up sexual hazing with Baron Saber on Tuesday's episode 2 of Conversations with Pollyanna. That new series has been going so well. You guys have received it well. I've enjoyed doing it. It's just going to be such a nurturing experience and so many exciting interviews coming up just on the horizon in the next few months. But I got an email based on Tuesday's episode, and the email writer was concerned that bringing this up was just based on a rumor that I'd heard and that doing that could lead to stigmas about the lifestyle. It was not a rumor. I am talking about specific people, one who I knew very well and found out later was a user. He was always good to me and protected me, but what he's done to other women and couples in the lifestyle as the ringleader of his band of merry men and enabling bystanders honestly makes me ashamed I ever let him into my life. Was he good and kind to me? Oh yes, absolutely. But what he has put people I know and treasure through is just plain revolting. I've had many conversations with his victims over time who have encouraged me to address this at some point since I got this podcast started. I have taken a long time and put a lot of consideration into it and chose now, and Baron specifically, knowing he would handle it with class and be an excellent choice, especially as a fellow single and a male counterpart in the lifestyle. I knew he'd be the right choice to help me focus on the main point and give value that I wanted to give across. That point to me is to empower and encourage people to have strong voices in the face of peer pressure from predators like this man. Now, as far as stigma goes, how do we eradicate stigmas when we stay silent about things like this? The fact of the matter is that bad behavior like this is part of human nature itself. It does not originate in sex minority groups like the lifestyle, but sex minority groups like the lifestyle are not immune to the darker sides of human nature. I will never be a pretty little thing that only says pretty little things. If we have a problem in our culture, we need to be honest about it, address it, and get through it together. Ignoring it does not make it go away. This bad seed, this stain on the lifestyle itself, this man who even I allowed into my life very intimately only to discover how many people he has hurt over the years. When it comes to this topic, there were so many layers for me personally, which is why it took me so long to bring up. And I didn't bring it up only because I have a platform to. I brought it up because I felt a deep personal responsibility. I got all the good he had to give people. I gained so much from that in many ways, and I treasured our friendship as the origin of what brings me here to you today. But now that I know the facts about him, not rumors, hard, cold facts, I could not stay silent. I had to say no more. Not to him. I don't care if he ever knows anything about whatever I do. I'm saying no more to anyone feeling like a Facebook famous lifestyler can get from you whatever he wants to manipulate out of you. Tell him no. Tell him to fuck off. Tell him you get to decide what turns you on, and it doesn't matter if you meet his expectation. You don't need social acceptance as dictated by him. Pollyanna adores you, and much more importantly, you adore you. The mean girls and guys can go sit at the table in the corner and enjoy their own miserable company while we all go off and have fun and are good to one another. We are the cool kids because we are genuine, because we are ethical, because we are there for each other in the right ways for the right reasons. Patrons are getting their March photo today. Hey! And the story behind the shot. Friends to your patrons and above get their March newsletter this week as well. When it comes to the photos and videos, you only get from me what I share publicly, unless that is, you are a patron. I will leave a link in the details where you can find out more about what to expect in each tier of patronage. I'm so excited to have some amazing sponsorship relationships coming up soon. I've been working hard on that. I've been talking to a lot of people, lots of conversations. It's a lot of behind the scenes work, especially when you handle everything yourself. Whew. But lots of just really exciting relationships. So should you want to become a sponsor too, and you want to send me a note, you can do that at withpollyanna.com/contact, and we will work together to make something happen.
Did you like today's episode? Rate, review, and subscribe. Make sure you check out my website left in the show details, withpollyanna.com, for everything Pollyanna all the time. Want to support what I'm doing and become part of the inner circle? Visit patreon.com/withpollyanna and become a patron. As always, be good to yourself and be good to others. Laters. If you ask, I can share my everything except for where my past been. Passion was less than passive on the path in. Now it's all an act in a bad scene. Just swing them hips over here.